Welcome to the Curse Checkpoint from HorribleNight.com. Catch a Coop off guard one more time. Brought our whole, well, almost our whole, all our holes. We brought all our holes with us today. all but one of the holes that went to the Louisville Arcade Expo a couple weekends ago now.
All your holes are my holes. Boy, are we sore.
That's how pinball works. It was Horrible Night's fourth trip. Coop, I think it was your third trip. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then Justin Gifford also went with us, but we had two first timers and Jason Thompson. Say hello, Jason.
That's right. Pop my cherry.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm pretty sure, Josh Lee, you found the Arcade Expo like way back when and just you've never been allowed to go.
And I didn't go, yeah. But I brought the multi-balls this time.
Whoa. All the balls for all the holes.
All the balls. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, first time.
So kind of just want to talk about everything that stood out from the show. But before that, so we drove down on a Friday night. It was a big party van to get down there post-Louisville snowstorm. I had no idea how big a deal that was down there. But we had some adventures even before the show. Namely, Josh, your morning visitor, to kind of set the tone for what to expect from the city of Louisville.
The morning of the expo, mm-hmm. we all stayed in a lovely Red Roof Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Six
doors. Doors are always open at Red Roof Inn.
That's true.
You guys' door wouldn't even lock.
Could open it with a nice shoulder.
Yep.
Oh, that was awful.
Like a shoulder.
Right. I got the solo room. And okay, so you guys know the story, but for everyone else. We go to bed at like 3 a.m.
Wait, yeah, before that. We got some Spelunky to work on our Vita.
Yeah, so we tried to play some Vita together. We struggled a little bit.
Josh and I were overloaded with mobile gaming options, but couldn't get hardly any of them to work.
We finally got some Spelunky going.
After we tapped into the hotel Wi-Fi and both had to download Vita updates.
Yeah, we had version mismatches. And I think I ended up tethering off my phone, which worked much better than the Wi-Fi.
Oh.
And yeah, so we tried to play some Vita. Jason watched us.
What did you think of that Spelunky multiplayer?
It's all right. I mean, that game is, I don't know. I'm glad they added it in, but that's not why I play that game.
Right.
Just to get more frustrated because somebody pushed me into something. Whatever, that's no good, right?
Yep, I think, it was about exactly what I expected. But we played it till like 3:30 in the morning and then said goodnight to Josh.
Yep, and had we just stayed up a little bit longer, I might have been safe. No, so it was really weird. I got, like, about 5 a.m., I got a knock on the door, and I see, and I'm like, well, I get up. I'm like, I was asleep. I was just in, you know, deep REM sleep. And I get up, I look out the little peephole, and there's a man. And I, for some reason, I open the door.
Yeah, and I still can't figure out why you did that. It's like, why was that a good idea?
I know. I opened the door. He was real surprised to see me. I was obviously not the occupant he was expecting. And I said, can I help you? And he says, oh, no, sorry. He real nervously, and he runs away. And I remember thinking, that was weird. I looked, and oh, and by the way, he smelled like weed. Like really stinky, stinky weed. I look down at my feet, and I think my toe touched it or something. I see this McDonald's bag, and it was, despite what Jason will claim was the contents of the bag later, it was kind of tall and squared off. I mean, I took a picture of it. It definitely looked like
there was
some, yeah, it looked like, you know, a stack of something inside of it. Money, a brick of drugs, whatever that looks like.
Something coming.
And I decide to not touch it. So I go back to bed, leave it there. I wake up in the morning, the bag's still there. So I tell you guys, I text you guys, I think, first. I'm like, hey, there's a guy came and I think maybe left drugs at my doorstep. And when we finally were like about to leave, and Jason is the only one with the balls to like go and open the bag, and he goes and he opens it and go ahead and describe what you think you saw.
I know what I saw. I saw two sausage biscuits. I will admit that
I did.
I could have easily just gotten them out, which I should have done. I should have just
eaten them on the spot without question.
Yeah.
So because
there's really sausage in there.
Right. There's still a vague possibility that the contents within the actual biscuits themselves could have been something else.
But you saw a sausage biscuit wrapper, two sausage biscuit wrappers.
Yeah, and you know they're somewhat transparent, so you can kind of see what's inside, and that's what
there's bread. The drugs were inside the bread. Obviously.
It's translucent meat, of course, from McDonald's. But and it could have had a false bottom. The bag might have. We don't know. Anyways, we didn't eat those sandwiches.
I mean, the bag was out there for a couple hours, right?
Yeah, they were cold.
So he didn't have his moment of oh shit, I left my breakfast there.
Not when you're high.
Yeah, he's forgetting a lot of stuff, I guess.
But why would he set his if that was his? Why would he have set them on their ground just to knock on the door?
That's weird, right? Maybe it's polite to leave your food on the ground before you greet someone.
But why don't you explain your theory that maybe they were already there, so he knew which door to knock on?
Oh, that's right.
They're marking the door with biscuits.
Yeah. Well, leave your two biscuits. So he was coming to pick up. On the doorstep.
Oh, I see. So
you put the sausage out, and he comes up, and you deliver it to him.
That's right.
I mean, it's been a while since I've been in dorms, but I thought leaving the sock on the door was the signal. But
no, you leave the sausage in the bag.
Okay. That's right. I'm just glad I didn't accidentally say the magic word.
I like that you scared him.
Yeah, right.
I think you were the one that should have been terrified in that situation.
I'm in pajamas, and I'm just like, I'm really just completely kind of like aloof, you know, like, what's going on out here, guys?
Seems like a good idea to open this door.
Hey! Probably looked and sounded, I probably was real raspy. I probably looked and sounded like Bluto.
Then we actually went to McDonald's for breakfast. This is a very important part of the story, but actually, I enjoyed the fact that we're getting to the expo right when it opens, which is a first time for me because usually we just kind of stumble in whenever. So we have time to go grab breakfast, and in their dining room is just one of those classic just meetings of like old men that have been friends forever, and it's like a town meeting with these guys, and they have taken over the place. And I don't know, it was just enjoyable to hear how important all of their conversations were.
It was also extremely awkward when they started hitting on the younger ladies.
Yes, I'm glad somebody else remembered that.
I missed that.
I was facing the other one.
No, there were these girls came up to the drink machine, and oh man, they were all over them. It was probably
verbally?
Like, I would say,
there's at least 10 men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 10 men over 65, 70 years old.
And we're talking somebody in maybe their 20s, and then her mom maybe.
Oh,
so
weird.
20s and 40s probably.
Did you hear any pickup lines?
Did you get your sausage biscuits?
in a 65-year-old man kind of way pickup line, sure.
He's like, I left my sausage biscuits on your doorstep.
I was really hoping I would run into that guy again. Just like see him in his normal daily life. Like maybe
delivering biscuits to other people.
Maybe he's in there picking up like
maybe he's working for the working for those old men. He's doing deliveries for him.
Oh no.
He strategically places biscuits throughout that hotel to as people wake up, they get the McDonald's craving so they can get as many young ladies over to the McDonald's as possible. Wow. That meeting got a lot creepier the more I thought about that, so we should probably go. We didn't go for the Louisville morning life or the nightlife. We came down to Louisville for... Well, why did you guys come down? Like, Josh, what were you looking forward to?
I wanted a dude's weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to play some old games, mostly pinball, but cool. Whatever. So, but yeah.
What about you, Jason?
Ditto. exact same reason.
Coop, why'd you go a third time?
I don't want to be lame and say the same thing, but actually, I went more for all the people that were going this time. I probably played the least amount of all the trips I've been there.
I think I keep going back for the pinball. Like, we've, between like emulators and building our own machines and just over the years, I feel like I've played a lot of the arcade games, and that was what originally drew me down there. And then I just never played pinball as a kid, and just, I don't know, being able to play as many games as I want is pretty cool, and seeing some of the new stuff and the old stuff. So that's what keeps me coming back.
I mean, the pinball, I suck at it, so it's nice to be able to play and not have to pay for it. Well, I paid for it, but not really.
Right.
But yeah, like you said, I pretty much can emulate about anything else that was there. But you can't emulate those pinball machines, and they're not cheap.
So the first thing that stood out to me, besides the WrestleMania pinball machine that was in the lobby, which kind of caught us off guard, and I won't spin off into a wrestling conversation, but so we walk in, and the first thing we all gravitate to is the virtual pinball, because there's a big stand. I forget the guy's names. Is it Pinball VR or
VP Cabs?
VP Cabs. Tell us about these cabinets.
He's already got his
order
placed.
Yeah, he called the guy right after he got home.
I've been on their website a couple times already. I already measured their small cabinet would totally fit next to my main cabinet here in the office. And I don't think it would be too in the way either. So, but don't tell Kylie. So I'm a huge fan of Pinball FX, or Zen Pinball, as it's called on some platforms. And the first thing we see when we walk over is a whole bunch of custom-made cabinets running the Zen Pinball games, like the Star Wars games. That I got pretty excited about that. It looks like a normal pinball cabinet. It's got like angled, it's got glass over the screen, all this. It's got the same buttons you'd expect. It even had, some of them even had the box. What do they call it on top of a pinball cabinet?
The box on top of the pinball cabinet.
Yeah, the box on top.
Yeah.
With like the scoring meter. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There was the DMD as well. Some of them had, and also the space up top. So you basically had on some of these machines three screens that actually were being run out of this thing. And I knew that a while back, I remember hearing that Zen, they were doing a cabinet friendly version of the PC when they came out with it on Steam. And seeing it in action was pretty cool because they actually had like the full play field edge to edge on these screens. Yeah. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, they got a couple different models. They got the smaller version and then a big hoss full size pinball one. And it seems like they're priced relatively okay, like for all that custom work. And it's tempting to just I want that all in one platform for all my virtual pinball, and they're onto something.
No, I know.
Coop, what were you gonna say?
Was that booth there last year?
No,
I remember there was one machine on the floor that we found and kind of gravitated towards.
They had like two or three of them mixed in with the regular pinball, and like their business cards, but like it wasn't set up where you thought you could go talk to them or go buy them. Like it was almost too, like, it was cool for them to like just throw it out there, but I think the booth setup was a lot more effective.
Yeah, I also don't remember them having the bigger ones. They were all the small ones before, weren't they?
I thought it was, I can't remember.
Maybe it was a big one. I can't remember.
I thought they fit right in next to the other machines, but.
Yeah. Yeah, they might have now that I think about it.
So their prices range from $4,000 to $7,000, it looks like.
I was like, I thought they had a $2,000 cabinet. Yeah,
I thought so too, and I kept thinking about that.
The smaller one. It was like $2,500, I thought.
Yeah.
Because that
maybe
started,
they had just a hot sale. I don't know.
Because that kind of started like our a la carte menu of what stuff we're going to buy. So we're going to start off with virtual pinball for like $3,000, I thought.
Yeah.
Actually, yes.
One there.
They might have, yeah. I don't know. Might be worth actually sending them an email or something.
I want to see if they'll do custom stuff because I think we all were like, looks pretty good, except can we put a better monitor in there? Because looks kind of...
Yeah, some of them I think were a little bit better than others. And I mean, that's just I mean, we're just super, super picky about stuff like that. We're just, as techies, your average person probably wouldn't know or give a damn, but I just thought, I'm like, oh, it was a little washed out from a sharp angle. That was how I felt about it. But that, that's...
I'd be curious what people think of that, that haven't actually played any virtual pinball, because, it took me years to come around on Zen Pinball, and that's just hanging out with Josh and him brute forcing, play this game with me, and like it, love this. And so that I eventually came around. But let's just go around the games and the pinball machines that stood out to you. What'd we play first? Does anybody, what stood out first?
What did we play first?
Did we play Metallica first?
Well, we all kind of... I might have played Metallica first. But we all kind of split up at first because you got... Well, we went to the virtual pinball area.
Yeah.
And then I took off.
Because we did a lap. Chris. I did a lap to discover that, hey, Demolition Man's here. And Demolition Man did not work the whole show. But...
Yeah, the Last Action Hero was the first machine I played simply because nobody else was playing it, and I just wanted to play something.
Yeah, I think I played a random machine that I had never heard of just because no one was there. But sure. Metallica, I think, is the first one that I actually remember.
Yeah. So what was in that? Let's focus on that back row. They had I feel like those were the newest machines. There weren't really any classic machines in that group, right? That was
no, there was one right next to the metallic machine.
Oh well, that didn't. I don't think that one counted because I can remember what it was.
Well, those ranged from some of them that they could have been mistaken for brand new because they were in such great shape, but some of those were late '90s.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that Medieval Madness is, what did we find out, 96 or something like that?
97 or something like that, yeah.
So let's talk about that. That table seemed to have the buzz for us.
It's regarded on the internet as a top game. I know that much, just from watching. And it gets included in some tournament play and stuff like that. I have been, by the way, since then, watching way too much of the PAPA, the PAPA pinball championship kind of stuff, like tournament play. Get a lot of hot tips. It's really improved my pinball arcade game on the PS4.
Are you going to adopt a professional pinball stance the next time you walk up to a machine? Yeah.
I'm going to put both my legs in the air behind me. I'm going to plank while hitting the flippers.
You should build some kind of thing that you hang around yourself that lets you prop yourself up. attaches to the front of the machine. You can kick your legs up behind you.
Right.
I remember Medieval Madness last year. It looked really generic to me. For someone that doesn't know shit about pinball games, I was like, what is this non-licensed game with just medieval stuff that looks like a little, more modern than most of the machines there? But you get up there, and that game is just super friendly as far as... I always say, if I can get multi-ball easily, and I have, 4 out of the 5 times I've played that machine, I get multi-ball, and I just feel really good about myself when I'm playing the game, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of shit happening, and, the game just makes you feel really good, and it's silly, and the toasty guy.
I had a really bad experience with that game last year.
Really?
Because I remember, I remember the line being long then, too, and you played it and said it was awesome, and I stood in line. And it was just one of those, 1, 2, 3, and I was out. I didn't, didn't really do anything in it. I was just like, well, that kind of sucked. I was apprehensive coming up to it this time.
I think that passed on to me with Starship Troopers this year. That was your kind of your game, and I got up there and got blown away. Yeah. But
my best game all day was actually on Medieval Madness. I think it was the second time I played it, or maybe it was the first time. Anyways, I had 21 million points on my first ball, and which seemed like a lot. I was playing forever is what I felt like. I'm like, I've been up here for 10 minutes. This is great. I mean, sometimes when you're getting a good lucky streak, you're not necessarily getting a lot of points because you need to play the actual game. There's rules to the game, and you're not maximizing points. But I kept destroying the castle, and I kept getting multi-balls and jackpots and stuff, and I'm I got to the point where I'm feeling really good. I'm like, oh shit, I think I'm killing this machine right now.
Got it figured out.
And at one point I kind of was is anybody watching? Nobody's watching, so no one gave a shit. But it felt so good. And then I finally lost my ball, and then, like, basically I just dropped the next two balls. Like, almost instantly, I would end up with, like, 20, 25 or 26 million or something. But I'm like, man, I felt really good about that. And I haven't beat that score on the virtual table since then either. So it, I was like, it was not too bad.
That's a good gauge table. How well you do by how many points it takes to get a free game, because it's usually really high.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it was 33 on...
Yeah,
or 31 on Medieval Madness.
So yeah, if you're anywhere, you know, if you're over halfway there, I think that's a successful game.
Mm-hmm. Jason, did that stand out, or what other pinball machines stood out on that wall?
I didn't actually get to play that one because it had such a line. I kind of, after a while, went from waiting for pinball and just sliding into any kind of random arcade game I could find.
Is there anything on that? See, on that pinball wall, we had, AC/DC was back there. We had Medieval Madness. We had CSI machine.
CSI, yeah. Yeah, I was, so I had weird. To push you guys, I had to push you guys towards the CSI machine. That's actually a pretty solid, solid machine.
It is.
It was fun as hell.
Weirdly themed.
But yes, I actually, we had that one at the,
Enhance.
The student, union at, at IU. So, it took me a long time to figure out where I had actually seen it before, and that's where I had played it. And of course, I spent a lot of time at the union, so that makes a lot of sense. I used to work there, so I used to probably just go and play quick games on my breaks. But yeah, I like that one. I actually really preferred the AC/DC machine over the Metallica machine, and that might have been just due to the fact that maybe they had the AC/DC machine turned up louder.
Yeah,
but maybe. Yeah, you can hear the music on that one. You can really hear the Metallica one.
So that was, I think that was the debate we were having, Coop. Like, I'm with Jason. I like Metallica more than AC/DC, but that meant the pinball machine wise, I felt like the quest system or the mission system related to all the AC/DC songs was easier to grasp and and pick versus the Metallica stuff. I like the look of the table, but I think the AC/DC machine might be more fun.
Yeah, and to me, it just seemed like the music was blended a little bit better in the machine. And it was it's an older machine. I can't remember exactly the date on that AC/DC machine, because didn't they have, am I not mistaken, did they have two AC/DC machines there?
I think
one of them was the competition machine.
I don't know.
And it was slightly newer.
I thought
they do have different versions of it. All the Stern stuff has like limited editions and premiums.
Okay. Yeah, so they were using one in competition, which we didn't even get anywhere near, but I saw it. But
I think it's relatively new.
It is, yeah. It's a newer one.
I feel like they did that and then started planning the Metallica one, because the Metallica one is definitely like in the same vein for sure.
I could have sworn the date on it was showing some 1990 date or something. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I mean, regardless, it was. I thought it was a little bit more entertaining. Still kind of a line for it, anyways. But in terms of that back row, I really didn't spend a lot of time. I didn't even get to do the Starship Troopers one. That was the one I kind of like saw, and I was like, I don't know. I after a while, you know, having to wait in line and then get to play it, kind of.
I think we thought Coop was going to buy that machine.
Oh yeah, it was for sale, wasn't it?
You like that machine? What was cool about that Starship Troopers machine?
I was good at it.
Okay.
I don't know. No, I mean, I felt like probably the same reason you liked the AC/DC one. Like, I really got the missions. They were pretty easy to pick up on. And it just seemed like there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on the whole time.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it was mostly just I played it and I understood it and I did really well. And it was just a all around good first impression.
The other two, go ahead.
What I really liked about that AC/DC machine, and you were watching me, Justin, at one point, the ball just like disappears and then it like goes down into like a sub level into the pinball machine, and it's just like this like devil loop thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. And it just kept going. And I'm like, how do I get out of this? And I don't know. I just kept playing. It was very strange. I like when machines kind of do that to you. Like, oh, well,
where'd the ball go?
Yeah, here's the ball. Like, you figure it out. I'm like, okay. Tell me what to do.
I like any of the multi-level stuff. That's always a good hook for me. I was kind of disappointed that Oh shit, what was that table? The black hole table wasn't there this year.
No.
And that has some very cool level effects.
Where so that just reminds me, the WrestleMania machine had the upper play field.
Yeah.
Where it had like the four like sides of a ring. And when you hit the flippers, it would like push out. There weren't flippers up there, but like the ring ropes basically had like bumper things on it, and you'd hit the flipper to hit those. But I thought it was kind of lame that you're not really doing anything up there. You're just like kind of bouncing the ball around. There wasn't like, if they'd actually popped up like a wrestler or something, like you could hit him in the face.
That's what the graphics were doing though. Yeah. Whoever you're fighting. But it was
some toys, man. All the cool tables got toys.
It did feel like basically, they
kind of. No, basically when you get it up in the ring, they're then simulating the match so that you're actually then performing moves and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was all on the screen, which obviously you're not going to be staring at most of the time.
Devised a way where you hit that ball up and there's like a little wrestler player there. And he catches it, and then they just make that player like jump up and do a body slam or something. That would be awesome.
Or make two balls fight. Like put your ball off the top ropes and like let your ball flop off and stuff.
Yeah.
Let your ball turn into an actual tiny wrestler.
Don't half-ass it.
But what about the pinball machine?
It did kind of seem like that idea was half realized, honestly. Like it's like go all the way with it and do something else with her. But I don't know. That machine had more going on than I expected. So. Yeah. Just had terrible, terrible side art that didn't promote the wrestlers that should be promoted. So, but anyway.
Oh, man. It's so bad. There's a giant Big Show on the side. Like, no one cares about it. Okay, whatever. Wrestling.
The other two that stood out to me, I had never played the Addams Family game for some reason. Yeah.
They had two of them there.
Yeah, and that game is... I always recognize it because it's got a lot of, like, I don't know, signature sounds or sounds that just, they happen a lot and they sound really weird, but they only fit with that game. It's like some creaking door sound that I always hear when I'm playing next to it. But that machine has a reputation, and it definitely lived up to its reputation. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a good machine.
Did you guys get to try the Bride of Pinbot?
No.
I think I played it once.
It was hard.
Yeah, you played it.
It's really hard, I think.
You had an intimate moment with it, didn't you?
An intimate moment?
Yeah, with the Bride of Pinball. I did. Or maybe that was in the virtual pinball after the fact. Weren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been playing it since then, yeah. But it's creepy.
The privacy is on home.
That's like, I think that came away as being like, especially now as I've been playing like the virtual table of it, like I want that table. That game is fantastic. It's so freaking good. And it has this... super creepy. It's got like, of all the games I played, it had the most like obvious like progression thing to, like, anybody could walk up and go like, oh, I need to build this giant lady machine thing, and it's so super weird. It's so creepy because you just keep going up this ramp and it keeps like firing up like the sequences of like, oh, it's a voice module is activated. So next time you go up in, she's got this face up there and you put the ball, like goes into her mouth and then she's like, I can speak. And then she's just talking to you and it's real creepy. And her head like flips over like this. There's this big, like on the upper playfield thing, there's like her face has like, I think it's just like a four-sided, like a box, and it just keeps rotating each face. And as she gets more advanced, she eventually like, she can see, and then she eventually turns into like flesh. And it's so creepy. And like the pinbot guy from the original pinball game is also watching. And at one point he's like, oh no, what have I done? Or something like, he's like, oh shit, it's gone wrong. And I mean, it's like, you kind of don't want to keep going because you're just doing something wrong. Like, I don't think I should finish this.
You're not rescuing her. You're creating something terrible.
Yeah. It's going to kill everyone. I'm sure. But
it looks like you can pick one of those up for like $1,200 to $1,800.
What?
Yeah, it's cheap.
I'm in.
It's cheap compared to all the other things you're pricing out.
One of these machines will be bought by the end of this podcast.
So is that? Do you know if that machine's like got a better rep than the regular Pinbot machine?
Than Pinbot?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And this is I think it's a Brian Eddy machine. He's the dude that also made Medieval Madness. Oh, I can't remember. He's the designer of one, the programmer on the other, and Lyman Sheets was the programmer on Medieval. I don't know.
We'll take your word for it, and then Wikipedia okay. later.
Okay.
What other pins stood out? Did anybody play Wizard of Oz? I still haven't played that.
No,
I played it last year.
It's weird.
It was really weird. I mean, it was good. The HD animations on the screen are a little distracting, I thought, because you kind of are looking at it a little more than you normally would.
How'd it play? How'd it feel?
Because
that's a Jersey Jack machine. They're like a newer company.
Yeah, it was. I don't remember it being my favorite, but it wasn't bad. I mean, I remember enjoying it. But yeah, it wasn't extremely memorable. It was for sale though, wasn't it? They were trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It was away from everything else too. It was like out under the lights.
I would say it's average. It's average.
Maybe. It was hot last year. I remember that. It was like
it's a good size.
That first year Wizard of Oz and AC/DC showed up, those were tough to wait in line for. So I really enjoyed the Jurassic Park table. Finally
I watched you play that one.
Those balls are stuck.
Yeah.
The balls did get stuck.
Economy got
really pissed when her ball didn't come out. She got like a, triggered a multi-ball, or it told her to do something for bonus points, and there was no ball.
Oh. I don't. Yeah. I mean, as excited as I get for multi-ball, if you fake me out with a multi-ball, I don't think I'd come back to your game.
Well, sometimes the balls, they fall one way, but it drops in the same spot, and it falls a different way the next time.
Yeah.
It's
super humorous to me, though, at that place,
and Plinko.
How worked up some people get.
Especially when they're playing free pinball.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh. My ball didn't come out. I'm like, yeah, it was people free. Just play it again.
Do you prefer the people that freak out when their game doesn't go that way, their way, or the people that are awesome and just like setting records in front of you? Which one would you rather tolerate?
I'd rather tolerate the people to freak out, because you were in line with me when that guy broke the AC/DC record. He broke the pinball machine record right there in front of us. We probably stood there for 25 minutes watching him play. It was ridiculous. I mean, it was cool to witness, but after about 15 minutes, I was just like, okay, man.
Well, this is like a big family thing, and there's lines, and people are playing games they've never played before, but there's also the group of people that this is all they do. And I was like, you can go play this any time. I mean, if you're challenging the board record here, you probably can get your hands on this machine elsewhere. But
You guys should have stopped and turned to the crowd and be like, hey, we got it. He's coming up on a world record. And then, like, drop people on the
kill screen here.
Missed opportunity.
I know. We were thinking we were too pissed off because we wanted to play it.
That Jurassic Park machine, though, it's got a T-Rex head in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how I triggered it, but that T-Rex will eat your pinball. It'll hold it for a little bit, and then it'll just, like, kind of...
Like a lawyer on the toilet.
Yep, exactly. Nope. And then also can, like, you launch, like, a nuke or a missile. Like, it had some cool little events to that board, so...
A missile? I don't remember that from the movies.
Yeah, you got like one. Yeah, you got one missile per game that you could fire.
Why? Why the hell would they include that?
I don't know. Makes no sense.
Gotta blow up the island because you don't want.
I want to say it was your ball saver, because every pinball game usually has at some point it'll save your ball once, and I think that's
this
what
one
it was
weird. It was like you had one shot per game, and you could launch it at any point.
Yeah. How'd you shoot it?
There was a second button. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It worked. There's a lot of stuff going on in that game, but that was kind of like the little surprise game, because I almost didn't play it, and it ended up being a lot of fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. How was the Iron Man machine when you played that?
It was pretty good. It felt a lot like. I mean, it was along the veins of the AC/DC and Metallica machines. I mean, it was very new. There was a lot going on. I didn't like it better than either of those, but it was fine. I was bad at it, so that might have had something to do with it, but it was pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah. Before we get to... Oh, is there any other pinball tables that stood out?
I wanted to point out there was one that, and I couldn't tell. I'm pretty sure it had LED mods in it. It was the Swords of Fury table. I think it was like an old Williams game. Oh. That's not a new game by any stretch, but it looked really, really good. And I'm pretty sure they'd put the LED lights in.
So
that
that's kind of the thing, right? Like you take the old tables and don't use the original lighting, but put LED stuff in there, and everything's
bright. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. They make them, they go right in the same socket. So they've made it real, I don't know how much those kits cost, but they've made it real easy to drop those in. And I'm pretty sure that thing had to have been LEDs, at least for some of the lights, because it looked super, super crisp. It, like just the back glass, the backlighting was really good, and the playfield too was really bright. And it looked like a brand new machine.
So the one machine above all things at the Arcade Expo the last 3 years, the thing I want to walk away with is that Joust pinball machine.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty neat.
One-on-one pinball. Coop and I have played it. Jason, what did you think of it?
I really liked it. I was actually kind of surprised. I was thinking maybe it'd be a little bit bigger than it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just chaos. It's just mass chaos. And it just takes you a little while. Even watching other people play it, it's still kind of a little difficult to like wrap your head around what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was
a good one or two playthroughs, I think.
It took me like six. It was like we got there, we played it once, and I'm like, and I think that was my fourth or fifth time playing, and it was like, I should read the instructions and actually figure out how this works. Then I destroyed one of you. I can't remember who that was.
It was me. You killed me.
Yeah, he did destroy you.
You had a hell of a game.
The life system's really interesting in that game, where each player just gets five lives, but you can mm-hmm.
You
lose
play
a life
until both of them are out.
Yeah. But yeah, you could lose all your lives, but still end up winning the game because you can keep playing off the other guy's balls.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess to maybe explain exactly what's happening is that it's a table, it's flat, you know, it's like a
cocktail table style.
And players on each side, you know, they're facing each other, and you're just shooting balls in each other's direction with like there's like some sort of system in the middle that transfers balls back and forth.
Yeah, there's like two or three, like what four or five, like four or five lanes,
couple little flaps.
Yeah. You know,
it's just crazy
because you really only have like what maybe four targets on your side of the table, which is what you're trying to hit to score.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not particularly interesting on the playfield just looking at it, but it's so right. And like Jason was saying, it's just like super hectic. So the balls are coming pretty fast. Like it's got a pretty decent slope to it on the actual playfields. Yeah. So the balls are, and then you basically have half of the normal view, and it's kind of hard to focus on the other guy's thing. So you just kind of have to watch these balls come in like twice the speed or half the amount of time as you normally would. But if you get more than one ball on your side, you just got to kick something over to the other guy. Because
there's usually at least two active at a time.
Always.
It's almost like constant multi-ball.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's why I like it. You nailed
yes,
it.
Yes, there's at least four balls one time.
Gosh.
And at the very end where it, you know, throws out, what, four or five balls?
Yeah, then it just spits them all out.
It just keeps spitting them out every couple seconds.
So I don't know if there's some limitations of the actual electronics, like the hardware or something, because it didn't always happen, but when it was kind of quiet, it wasn't like a lot of other sounds going on, your flippers would make the flapping sound of the...
All the Joust sounds were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. So that was
Joust was good.
That was the beginning of Joust Corner. I don't feel like we need to talk about the original Joust arcade machine was fine, and I actually thought I would sit back there and try to set the record because it's one of the games I focused on. But Josh, you may have opened my eyes a little bit to Joust 2, which when you guys started playing that game, I tried to tell you not to waste your time because
yeah,
I heard it, Joust 2 had sucked.
Challenge
accepted.
Whatever reputation it got towards me, it was like that's not worth the time and energy. Let's go play something else. But you guys encountered something special with Joust 2.
Well, I discovered a move too.
That Coop and I are a fantastic team.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, that, like, holy shit, we were beating the crap out of that machine.
We were, like, alley-ooping eggs. I don't even know how that's possible. Yeah, you were hitting guys, and it was popping the eggs up in the air and flipping them over to me so I could catch them.
Like,
and I was horse dropping.
Okay, so the Joust 2, for the uninitiated, plays just like, everyone's played Joust, but I'd never actually seen Joust 2, so I was new to this too. So it's very similar. I think it felt like, was the original Joust a vertical screen? Was it like that ratio? It felt like it was maybe a little bit tighter, but I don't know. Yeah. It had more vertical elements maybe to the actual maps. You did a lot of stuff more towards the top and all the way to the bottom. But two players, it wasn't necessarily cooperative.
But you guys were working together?
By nature, yeah, because you could kill each other. But when you do that, you're just taking, you know, you're getting more points, but you're kind of just making it harder for yourself because the game is much easier with two people cooperating. But you can hit, there's a second button now for each player. It's called Transform, and you turn your knight on an ostrich to a knight on a Pegasus. Might as well just have been a regular ass horse because its tiny little wings could not keep it in the air for shit.
Yeah, he was but like twice had, as heavy.
It did have the advantage of being able to take out guys on the ground. Like, so if you had a rider that got knocked off of his, what are the bad guys riding? Vultures. Mm-hmm. If he had, then he'd be on the ground with a lance and he would just poke your ostrich like right in the face. But the Pegasus, the horse, would just run him over. Also, the horse's butt would be impervious to bat attacks.
Yes.
It seemed like the bats would bounce right off of the horse buttocks.
Bat-proof butt.
But so Coop came up with this really good tactic. There was one level where they had all these little platforms going up the left and right side. So you had a column in the middle and then columns on the sides. And he would get up in the center of this thing and just turn into the Pegasus and just drop, because you drop like a rock when you transform, and he just boom, and he would just basically plow through all the enemies and then turn into a bird and fly back up to the top, wait for them to get in the corridor again, and then drop on him. It was like flawless. It was amazing. Perfect game plan. It worked every single time.
And that guy, we went back to play it that second time, and there was a guy who was, you know, hogging the machine, restarting every time he died, but he started doing it too. And yeah. I think he saw us.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't, like, no one's just going to come up with that on their own.
Because, I mean, he did it immediately. Had to. Exactly like I had done earlier in the day.
In this exact same level, yeah. I'm like, oh, somebody was watching.
These arcade games that are 15, 20, 25 years old, and we're coming up with new techniques. Exactly. I'm sure no one's ever done that.
Nobody's ever horse-dropped on Joust.
No. never been tried.
Yeah, open my eyes. That game will be showing up at an arcade challenge in our near future in the office for sure.
It's really good.
Then there's Josh, maybe, who found the Oscar machine, or who gave the Oscar machine a chance.
I like side scroller kind of shooty games, and there's a couple of the old guys camping it for a while.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, maybe something's going on here. I think Jason and I saw it first. Yeah. Like, we were over there looking, and these dudes were just kind of camping it, and we kind of played a couple of these little games here and there. But, yeah, we finally played Oscar, which is, I think, in everywhere, all the other territories, it's Psycho Nick's Oscar. I don't know what it means, but it's a Data East game with it's like Turrican with the Gradius or Life Force power-up system, where you accumulate power-ups to activate one of the powers on a bar that gets consecutive, you know, like grenades and speed up, or in this case, jump higher, missiles, different gun, that kind of thing. And it was surprisingly good, like totally competent. Like,
I can't really believe controlling it. Well, I guess like Karnov kind of did that, like no game, like the side scrollers just didn't use that, and it just seemed really, really novel that that we hadn't heard about it either, like, because I don't know, that's a weapon system I really like, and to see it outside of the shmup is was surprising. So yeah, that game, it was fun. Like I said, I kind of, you know, I enjoy the arcade games, but that wasn't why I keep coming back to the expo. So it was kind of nice to find a couple new surprises.
Yeah, I'd say Josh was a lot better at it than I was. I kind of snuck over there when we weren't kind of together, and
it's tough.
I was really what was it,
Jace, was it the second time we went over by that machine that we smelled like burning Yeah, something was on fire.
Something was on fire. That was strange.
It was like, it smelled like burning insulation, you know, like electrical fire or something. No one seemed very concerned, but my eyes were burning so bad, and it was hurting to breathe. And I'm like, we gotta get out of this
chemical fire.
Yeah, sort. It's not good. Don't breathe that.
I went back into
the place didn't burn down.
There's this cool little kind of shooter corner up by that row of pinball machines, like in that back right corner. You know, it had like. What, Space Invaders was back there, and Asteroids, those multiple Asteroids machines. But then I found these games by, they were Centauri arcade games. And, like, they look like Galaga clones a bit, but there were three of them. And it was one game called Phoenix, one game called Eagle, and then Pallades is their other one. But, so I started playing Eagle, and we're playing that this week in the office. And I just never seen these games before, and like they feel like Galaga, they're a little bit different, and the enemy design was really cool, and they had this feature in Eagle where you start off with a small fast moving ship that only shoots one bullet, but if he can survive a couple waves, you can dock it with a larger ship that then all of a sudden you've got three bullets that can shoot multiple times, and it's a little bit bigger, and if you survive long enough, you can dock with a third ship, and they're all just like attaching this like mega warship thing that has a ton of bullets. It was really creative, and you know, it was really simplistic. Like the game's like from 1980, so it got kind of repetitive, but it was really different. And just to see those machines kind of like all side by side, and I'd never heard of them before, was kind of a cool discovery.
So you brought up the asteroid machines. Did anybody else notice that the screens on those were like super bright?
Oh yeah. My god. That's a luxe one.
So is that how that machine really was, or had somebody modded those to look like that?
I that's what I was trying to wrap my head around.
Those looked so good.
Yeah, if that was original, man, I want one so bad. Even if it wasn't. Because basically what it was you're so used to just losing your spaceship amongst all the chaos of everything, but your spaceship and the missiles that it fired were this bright, luminous, like, it almost made it look 3D.
Yeah.
The asteroids and stuff were just kind of like their basic plain, just like dullness. It was crazy.
It kind of looked like the screen on those, what are those, Vectrex machines?
Vectrex.
Yeah, and I saw one or two other games. I saw one or two other games that had a similar screen to it, too.
Yeah, Space Invaders has it going on, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Space Invaders isn't Vector.
No, but it had a cool,
But it had the backdrop thing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it, like, Asteroids Deluxe and Space Invaders have that same thing where they've got a background that's an actual graphic thing that is, like, behind the graphics. I don't know how they are actually making that appear, like, if they're reflecting it upwards, maybe onto glass.
Must be reflecting. I bet they're reflecting it on glass.
All right.
I think we're gonna run up to that Main Street Amusements up in Lafayette. I heard sometime in the near future. I know he bought that Space Invaders machine. So
I saw that too. Yeah.
He got a little bit of a haul from the expo. So
he also picked up the.
Did he get the WrestleMania? I think he got the WrestleMania pinball tape.
Oh really? Oh okay.
Yeah, cool. So we'll have to check that out. The other game that kind of cracked me up that I had seen before but never played, Josh, you played Crazy Climber?
Yeah, that was nuts.
That game's nuts.
So,
two joysticks?
It was two joysticks that only had up and down movement on it. Right? No, it had left and right. Yeah, you had left and right. But it was a four-way restrictor on it. So, but I think that... So, I remember, I'm like, it felt familiar while I was playing it. And now I remember the Spider-Man game for the Atari 2600.
No shit.
You're climbing up a building just like that.
And
it was very, very similar. That game was really hard, but once you get into a groove, oh shit, you just start like blazing up that thing. It was really neat.
You're going to work out.
It was really cool. But once I lost it, I was done. I was doing really good for a while, and then I couldn't get that rhythm back because you can't just move. It's like you got to move like one hand and the other, but you have to actually bring like a hand all the way down. It's not just up, up. It's up, down, down, up, or I can't even remember the actual. I just felt it, and it felt right, and then I lost it, and yeah. I got so frustrated.
You got into a rhythm, and I got really excited. I was like, he's going to beat this game. He's unstoppable. Oh, and then,
man, I was really plowing through it. It was cool.
Any other arcade games stuff to you guys?
Of course, I got to mention Burger Time, which is like my all-time favorite arcade game. The problem, though, is that machine, what was it? It had like a really stiff, or like, I don't even, it wasn't even stiff. It was just the joystick. It was like you had to like lean into it to get it to go one. Yeah, it was like, it's like a thick sponginess, I guess is the only way to, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like easy to move around. And that game is kind of hard to do anyways, because you have to like get exactly right on the level to go left or right. And so you have to be like really precise, and then you just kind of have to lean into the machine for it to go anywhere. And I don't know, I was kind of disappointed in that. Seemed like there was a couple machines that needed a little TLC on the joystick portion. There was a Donkey Kong machine that had seen better days, that's for sure. But yeah, Burger Time, it just...
You never make it as a masseuse in Carmel.
Nice.
With that kind of endurance.
So I kind of, spongy. It was kind of my go-to machine when, like, everything else just seemed to be really busy, because there was only like one or two, like one like, person on it at a time.
I was gonna say, I feel like you at those things you have to kind of find your machine for when all the other lines are too long, and but this is the thing I can go to that no one else is really playing, and it's my machine.
Yeah, that was kind of what I went to. Another machine I wanted to mention real quick, because I had never seen this particular one before, was the Paperboy machine with the actual handlebars.
Oh, yeah.
Controller. Gifford actually played that for quite some time, because I like eventually just left, and then I'm like, I think I went to go look at the Joust pinball table again. I look over and he's still playing it like 10 minutes later.
He was on the clock.
Well, I think what happened was is that he accidentally started a player one and a player two game, so he was just going back and forth, but still, I mean, he lasted a pretty, he was pretty good at it. He was pretty good at it. It was right next to the Rampage machine, which of course, when you start playing Rampage, you just never stop because, well, it's just designed that way. Mm-hmm. So I just, I don't know. He found it and went with it, and I was happy for him because I can't do that.
I didn't know there was a Double Dribble arcade version. Josh and I tried to play that for like a little bit and then realized like, yeah, it's got like that gauntlet credit system where you're just like adding time to this basketball game. It was like this, we can't get the second player in, and the game has like 40 minutes left, I think, because I can't really read what's going on.
Well, that's terrible design.
Yeah.
Not letting a second person jump in and give you more quarters. Like, why would you design a machine to let one guy sit there for like hours and play like the longest game of basketball of all time?
We also played, no, it wasn't Rival Turf. What was the Street Fighter thing?
Crime Fighters.
Crime Fighters.
Oh, gosh.
I think it's the sequel to Renegade, or so, vice versa. Yeah.
Somebody seemed really excited about it.
We did four players?
Yeah, because that was the first thing we played, and all four of us were playing it. And just kind of, I felt like it was like...
That was me.
What was the line in that? Yeah. Rub your enemies, or...
Rub out
all the enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awkward.
But it had the gauntlet system of just put quarters in and you get more health, and seemed like a precursor to all those actually fun four-player brawlers.
The controls are in bad shape on that cabinet.
Also in awkward positions.
The controls on that felt a lot like the Burger Time ones.
I'm talking about like Josh and I were on the ends, and we... It was flipped for us.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't have anything going for it.
And the joystick was like above the two action buttons. It was like they were perpendicular to each other or something.
I don't know, they're just trying to cram people in.
Yeah.
Like how do we get more people jammed in here putting in their money?
I don't know.
You
take the lesson from the X-Men machine that came like 10 years later and do the mirrored screens and have wide. Yeah.
No. I think Crime Fighters was at the same time.
Was it?
Must have been, somebody's a little cool.
Googling the shit out of this right now. 92 was X-Men. Crime Fighters was 89, okay. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Josh, what was the name of the spaceship game? I'm going to...
Star Wars. For
No.
One, wait, which one?
The one you guys played next to the drum scene?
Yeah.
Tempest.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Now that was a thing of beauty. Instead of having a joystick, it had this spinner. Like this.
Oh yeah.
Like dial.
Mm-hmm.
The spinning dial that just spun freely, all, you know, 360 degrees.
I don't think I've ever played an actual Tempest machine. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Oh my gosh, it felt good. Yeah, because I'd only ever played it on Windows 95, if anything. It just felt so good.
I could own a Tempest machine.
The nicest volume knob from a 70s stereo.
Right. Yeah, it had a grip on it, and it
turned to 11.
Felt so good.
Is it similar to the? I didn't actually play that one. Is it like the knob on Tron? Because it's a spinning knob too.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, but I think it felt a little bit better than that one.
Oh, yeah, the Tron.
Tron wasn't there.
It was right next to Tempest.
I must have missed that whole corner because I didn't see Tempest here.
Yeah. They had a battle zone and a right red.
Right
next to the retro room.
Yep.
Or not the retro room. Back in the corner by the foreign room.
Is it like the cubby?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they had two machines that were both not actually working. One was a battle zone, which I always wanted to play that.
Yeah,
that game wasn't working.
I wasn't really looking forward to press my face up against that.
It's a pink eye.
Yeah.
It's I really want to try it, but if you think about it, that machine's really gross.
Yeah, it is. It's like a virtual boy. Or something.
Yeah.
Well, it was next to the Red Baron machine, which...
Red Bacon.
Yeah, Red Bacon.
Jason goes, is that Red... What's Red Bacon? I look at it, and he's right. The font looked like a C.
And people were, really excited about, that
they
being
like
there,
bacon.
Too. The Battlezone machine, and both of them just were not working. So, oh well. And then what was up with that, rifle game that they just kept it on and it kept making sound effects but it wasn't shooting
the one that was shooting
the ghost hunter.
They should have just pulled the plug on
it.
It looks cool. It didn't work last year either though.
Well, they had hooked it up to an outdoor yard ghost ornament that lit up, and so it flashed every time you shot the gun. So it was like a bug zapper. It just all the members just immediately gravitated towards it, and yeah, it didn't work.
I'm surprised more games didn't incorporate that black light look that thing had.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, it looked good. But none of the targets were actually registering hits, so everyone would go walk up. I just watch other people do it. They walk up, go, ooh, this looks cool. They start shooting, and then you see at first they're kind of aiming from the hip a little bit, and then they get down and looking at the sights, and they keep shooting, and they're kind of looking around what's going on? Am I bad, or is this game broken?
Yeah. Awesome. I did that same thing last year.
So, elsewhere, they had two console rooms this year. We did a little walkthrough of their, what I call the timeline room, which is consoles from the 70s on, just everything you can think of.
Yeah,
And then they had another room, which seemed to be the same type of theme. I couldn't tell if there were timeline, but it was all the consoles that were not released in the U.S., not just Japanese stuff, but European stuff and Russian stuff and things I had never seen before.
Consoles.
Yeah,
the descriptions were cool too, because there was this one that said this console had 6 games.
Yeah,
but it was really weird.
Josh, you and
card based.
Yeah, you and Coop were kind of touring that room for a little bit. Jason and I lost you, but. You played a handful of stuff. Anything stand out?
Yeah, we played some cool stuff. I mean, that's the first time I'd ever seen a Vectrex.
Mm.
So
yeah.
Getting to check that out was really cool. We played it's like a War of the Worlds game, and then something that was kind of like Asteroids, but it looked sharp. And it was tiny.
I like to have one of those sit on my desk. Just a little, yeah.
I like the little joystick. It actually felt pretty good. Mm. It was like a metal... joystick. I can't remember if the joystick, it felt like it only meant left and right or something, but some big buttons. And it wasn't big enough to put in your lap though. So you'd kind of have to sit it on a desk. You weren't going to play that with your thumbs. So, but it was interesting. Not that that was neat. And
they're pretty affordable too. We looked them up last year, I think.
Yeah.
They're only $120 or
$100,
something like that. Yeah.
God, that would also look cool on a shelf or something too. Yeah. So even when you're not playing it, it's like vintage.
I think the reason I haven't pulled the trigger on one yet is I feel like if I order one on eBay,
you're opening a door, man. Play
it like twice and it's gonna stop working. And then what do you do with it?
Hey, I did that with a.
How do you repair that?
I did that with a Blitz machine. It's fine on the other side of that too.
Nice.
What are the other machines? Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, what's a vector like monitor look like on the inside?
Yeah, I don't
have no idea how that works.
Who do you call to fix that?
Is it lasers? The laser patrol?
I wonder how many games that thing has.
I want to see somebody like take that into like the Geek Squad or something. call them in, see if they can't fix that.
Well, one of the machines they had that I was actually surprised to see, consoles, was the Philips CDI, which like just blew my mind that they actually had one of those. I do not know anybody else that owned one of those machines other than my family.
Oh,
we work with a guy that has one.
Oh my gosh, I'm convinced
you're the second person I know that had one.
I'm convinced we still have it somewhere, and we have some really. We didn't have any of like the licensed Nintendo games for some reason. I don't know why. We had all like the. I think probably what it was is the machine was so expensive that my dad just was forced to buy all like the super cheap games that were on clearance. Like I learned how to. There was like a casino game, so I learned how to like play like craps and blackjack.
Are there any I only hear about like people ripping on the Legend of Zelda games that are on that, but. Are there any good games that people...
Yes, I mean, that casino game was actually pretty legit for what it was. There was this other...
Horse gambling games, is that the other one?
Did they have, like, Laserdisc games on that? Like,
some of the machines...
Dragon Slayer?
Yeah, some of the machines were Laserdiscs with those built in, but then the one we had was just a standalone, video. I'm trying to figure out the... roller coaster game that we had for it was like this weird demented I can't even is that what it is this it Phantom Express I don't know it looks a lot like it just was weird and it was like something a kid should not be playing. I don't know, it was like
Larry.
Like it was like lewd and scary. I don't know, it was weird.
Custer's Last Stand.
I should have done some research on it because I was talking about it and I can't quite put it into words what it is.
There were a shit ton of games.
Yeah, there was a lot of games. There was a lot of games for it. But if I can find it, I'm gonna see if I can bring it to our next marathon, just so you can experience it. Because you guys saw like the really
hooking that up for capturing equipment. Like
you guys saw like the really. Crappy like single hand controller, which was closer to the actual remote control, but the controller we had was more, it was closer to the Super NES controller. Plus we had this like really big roller ball thing that you could, I think we had a golfing game, so that's probably what it was for. It had like two giant buttons on the side and it had like this, I don't know, 8-inch ball that you could roll inside the controller. It was really weird. There were some pretty interesting things for it.
But. Did you guys have the joy of sex?
my parents probably did.
Yeah, they did.
Sounds like them.
Late night Philips CDI.
Yes, what is that? What is that date night like?
And then you put in Paint School 2 afterwards. Like this is so dirty. I want to play Mutant Rampage Body Slam. You need to let's go ahead and.
It's a part of the Mutant Sports series.
Up on eBay. Yeah. I hope so.
Anything else from the console room, or even like anything else going on at the expo itself? They had a lot of game tournaments. We walked in during the Contra tournament, but
yeah, they were doing the pad, the running pad for the Nintendo
Power pad.
Sure. They were doing
track and field.
Track and field.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know they do cosplay stuff too, like cosplay competitions. I think there's an Excite Bike tournament. I know the Duck Hunt tournament was like there was a defending champion of that. So
it was so weird seeing there was like a, and I'm not judging, man. Everybody, do your thing, But there was a guy who, he was like his mid-40s or something, looked like every other dude there that was probably like a pinball collector or whatever, you know, like your typical kind of dude. And just like dressed like, you know, like he probably's got a pretty good day job, you know, like whatever. Like he's seemed real normal, except that he had a tail, like a fox tail.
Yeah, he did.
Sticking out the back of his, it's like obviously it's like a thing you tuck like in your belt or something and it hangs down. Really caught me off guard because it
because nothing else
about yeah. him said I'm a fan of, you know, animals or something.
Well, wasn't it wasn't it animated? Like
didn't I don't know, it kept hitting Coop.
Oh no.
It was
I didn't see it move.
Well, he was also very good at pinball, so he was he takes his pinball stance. You gotta,
well yeah. It was also weird because he was there with, you know, I don't know if it was his wife or his significant other or whatever, but you know, she was dressed completely normal too.
Yeah.
She didn't have a tail. So
I wonder if he didn't know he was tail solo. That it was there.
That's possible.
That'd be a cool prank to play if you had one of those things and you could just slip it into a pocket or something and you just kind of you never know. Maybe that was just an extension of his back hair.
Ooh.
Oh.
Or he just took his ponytail and tucked it through his shirt. That's kind of possible.
A logical explanation.
They're all preferable to
yeah, no, that guy was strange. It was
yeah, you're right. Like, it would have, if it was part of a costume, we wouldn't have batted an eye. Sure. But yeah,
no.
That was interesting. All right.
Yeah, it was just a tail.
And then we go, we take a break, we go back into the hot concession area, and they do have panels, and they actually had a pretty kind of a special guest. What was going on, yeah. Josh?
No, David Crane is there. Like, we're just going to get, like, a soda, and we turn around, and it's like, who's this old guy who's just coughing into his microphone? Oh, shit, it's David Crane. If you don't know, he was a co-founder of Activision, and he also made Pitfall and David Crane's Amazing Tennis in his later years.
He's like,
amongst other things.
And he's getting into technical detail about like how these old consoles processed pixels and you know, how they decided like how many pixels its RAM could actually handle, like keeping track of to move things. And it was,
I also kind of felt like he was, his presentation seemed a little defensive to how hard his job was.
Yeah.
Because, he kept saying, like, it was all comparison. Like, you know, today you would do it like this and you would render the pixels and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but back then a pixel used up so much memory and it's like four times the amount of memory the entire Atari had. And
yeah,
it was, you know, it's super interesting, but at the same time, it was like...
You're right. If he had a little more energy, he would have been the back in my day guy.
Yeah.
But also, you tweak it, and like, we totally could have been engrossed in that conversation. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was just, it was interesting with the audience. And like I said, we were just kind of walking through because we had games to play. But it's, you know, they try to get some attractions there, and... You know, it's their fifth year.
He's from Indiana.
Yeah.
And he's not in the game industry anymore. I think now he mostly does, like, helps people that are in, like, IP disputes. Stuff
really?
That. Yeah.
So they also have, like, you know, their exhibitors selling art and that kind of thing. But one cool thing they had also in the corner was, like, an indie game corner. Like, it had Sky Cursor, which is developed in Indianapolis and an upcoming indie game that I had played at a local event recently, but then there were three other arcade games there from developers from Indiana and from Kentucky, and like they're kind of joining together as a little group, and it's kind of neat to see Midwest game developers kind of come together like that and have a presence there. I kind of wished it would almost been, I don't know, I kind of wanted them out with the other games for people to just kind of notice them more rather than back where they were selling stuff, but still, it's cool to see them there.
Do you think if you just had those just like spread around the room, sprinkled amongst the classics, do you think like your average, like say maybe your younger person, younger attendee would have even noticed?
I don't even know. Yeah. I think that I really like Sky Cursor, so I think that could have fit in fine.
That game's badass.
I got a question for you guys about Sky Cursor. So do you think this was overlooked or if it was a game design choice. But I don't know if you noticed, because with the weapons, you could hold down the machine gun, mm-hmm. and it would auto-fire, but you had to spam the shotgun button.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're holding down the machine gun button mm-hmm. and at the same time reach over and tap the shotgun, you actually have to let go of the machine gun and repress it to start shooting again.
Yeah, when I played it, it was a little different. But
it kind of drove me crazy. But I could
I had that problem too, yeah.
I could also see them doing that on purpose maybe, but I don't know why you would do that, why you would make that choice.
Yeah. I'm curious. So they've got one level done. I'm curious to see like how big that game gets, but it's off to a great start. So.
Yeah, no, the game's great.
It feels chunky.
They programmed that thing for a JAMA, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's like actual, that's arcade hardware.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah. That's even more impressive.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I just like that they also noted Doom as an inspiration for a shmup, and it totally comes through.
Yeah. Yeah, the art style.
The art like style. The
eyeballs and everything.
The chunkiness of the explosions and the sounds. Like, everything feels meaty. And,
yeah.
Which is weird for when you're kind of flying a jet with a katana blade on it. But
yeah, cool. It was really satisfying shooting.
Any other
squishy eyeballs?
Expo highlights before I wrap this up. Any
typing of the dead?
Yeah.
Oh, we rocked shit.
We rocked some zombies on the keyboard.
Yeah, it's
Coop
funny.
And I had to walk away because we were just going to sit there and beat it.
We did. We played through a whole level boss fight.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I think it's weird. We had lost
for a short period too. There were some guys standing over us watching.
Oh
man, those guys can type.
He just I was like, well, trying to like see somebody get excited about some specific word you typed, like.
Well, and the thing was too, they actually still had the original Dreamcast keyboards, which I was impressed with.
Yeah, oh, I didn't realize. I didn't realize that was a Dreamcast
the PC port of that, but I never actually played it on the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
So that was cool. It was a lot harder with two players, I think.
You have to like call out words.
Yeah,
you gotta go for
sync. Yeah.
Well, it's got a really weird system where you both can be typing the same word and it gives it to whoever finishes it. But I think we're getting confused like which words we were typing at certain times.
And so once you start a word, you can't jump to another enemy that pops up.
You got
to
finish it. Somebody
so you guys
finish
are
it.
Better at communicating during joust. Rather than typing that.
We got a system down. We take I got right half of the screen and bottom for the guys that had if they were on top of each other.
Gotcha.
So and then Coop took left and we had a system down.
All right.
And it worked.
The other thing I noticed is that Coop was not using the space bar, but Josh absolutely had to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't require the space bar.
No,
but take that out of a sentence. You'd be typing full sentences sometimes or phrases with 3-4 words. Yeah. Try to type something like that without space bar. Like you see it visually and you're used to hitting it. Like I don't know how the heck you would omit a space without.
I don't either. And I don't think that I even noticed that I was doing that until
it's crazy.
Until JP pointed it out.
Yeah. But
maybe it's my way to game the system. It's like, oh yeah. I can hit 3 less keys and get through it faster.
Yeah, Coop and I also left lemonade, a very wealthy lemonade
stand. Oh, yeah, we did. Was that an Apple IIe? Is that what you...
Yeah.
Forgot about
it took us a second to... I had never played that, so I didn't know what I was doing, and it took a second to figure it out. But yeah, we... I don't know, we profited, what, like $6?
At least.
And then left.
Just left it there.
We made some lemonade, just left our money there because we're rich.
I wonder how that turned out.
What's that Dreamcast shoot 'em up that one of you guys was playing?
Ikaruga, maybe?
No. There was another one.
Oh, wait, yeah, there was another one.
I can't
I don't know
what
that one
was.
I couldn't see. There was no box or anything, so I didn't know what game it was. It looked pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was so. That was the Ikaruga was playing on Dreamcast in like the Timeline Room, right? So I think this one was. It could have been one of the newer ones too, because like people keep pumping out Dreamcast games.
Yeah.
So random indie games. Maybe it was one of those. I don't know, but I'd never seen it. It looked fun.
Well, in the foreign console room, like everything was zip tied together. Like you aren't like. Because they had some wild stuff.
It's probably hard to come by.
Yeah,
I mean. Systems they only had a couple games for.
Sure yeah, I'll be like if I had that stuff, I don't know.
I probably wouldn't take it there.
I don't know if I'm the type of person to like. Yeah. But maybe after a certain point, maybe after you've had this over like 10 years, it's kind of like, I want to show this off and let other people experience it. But like, yeah, I don't know. Starting out my collection, I don't know if I'm that generous.
I'd be scared somebody like break the controller or something.
Speaking of controllers, I finally got to try the Jaguar controller.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
Mm.
That's bad controller.
That, like, is it the nine little tic tac buttons? Is that the Jaguar?
It had like a full, like a numpad, and it had the squishiest D pad. It was really bad, and the buttons were garbage. But it was playing like it's kind of a Star Fox kind of clone, and the numpad changed camera views. So you had like 9 different views of on the camera. It was kind of neat. The game didn't seem all that great, but had you played it when like the Super Nintendo was out or something, you might have been like, "Oh shit, this looks pretty cool." Unfortunately,
It seems like Josh had the best encounters with people there. Because do you remember the little kid's reaction?
What the hell? That was so weird. I'm playing this game, trying to figure out how to play it, and this little kid, I don't know how old was he, Jason? Like,
oh gosh, he would have been at least maybe 6, 7.
Yeah, 6 or 7. He's standing right behind me, and he goes, and he said this, and it's just like, "Where'd you learn to fly? Where'd you learn to fly? Where'd you learn to fly? Where'd you?" And he asked, I don't know how many times, like 10 times? It was a lot. It was very excessive.
It was a lot.
And it was the same each time. I'm like, and all I get, I think I turned to Jason. I was like, after they walked away, I'm like, I think he was broken. It was so creepy. Eventually, his dad was
he wasn't
like,
really. He wasn't really there. You just imagined it.
Jason's just humoring you.
Like, it's like, I'm just waiting for, like, I'm just glad I wasn't playing on a roof or something, because he would have pushed me off. Oh, it was creepy. I don't remember what machine was it that was playing that really, really bad port of Doom?
It wasn't the Genesis.
I keep saying Dreamcast. Everything was on the Dreamcast to me for some reason.
Was it the Sega CD? Like the super monstrosity of Ultra Sega?
Oh, yeah, it was a Sega CD.
It had a good frame rate going, didn't it?
No, it was Sega CD.
Yeah, Sega CD. Because it had all the attachments.
Yeah. It was so dumb looking.
Bigger than the big PS3.
What was it? I was playing some like VCR looking thing, but it had a Sega CD built into it. What the hell was that thing?
That was
Pioneer or something?
No. What was that?
I thought it was not a Sega CD or not a Sega thing, but then you look on the like the cover of the tray and it has the Sega CD logo.
Was
on
it a Master System?
I don't know what it was.
I think they had multiple add-ons for this thing because they had
It looked like a big VCR. So
I'm looking at it right now. So
because the original it would be like the same size as the full Genesis, like the footprint of it, and the Genesis would go.
So
on
is
top
it a Sega thing
of,
or was Genesis it like a Pioneer or a Panasonic or? I feel like it was another company.
I think they had the Model 1 Sega CD, which was really big, and the Model 1 Genesis went on top of it. And then the Model 2 CD and Genesis went side by side onto another thing, so it kind of looked like it's like they all look like George Foreman grills.
No,
but one looks like
it
has a side
thing
for
found,
eggs
I just
or something.
Found what Justin's talking about. It is a Pioneer
laser
CD deck. Laser disc, it looks like.
Okay, well, they also have two different models of Sega.
Yes, everyone is correct, but I played the Pioneer thing.
the one Josh is talking about. But yeah, this looks like a Pioneer Laserdisc player that just has a Genesis cartridge slot at the bottom.
Yep. It is.
That's weird.
Oh, man, the old Wild West days.
Woo!
Where everything was...
That room
is cool.
Stackable Sega CD is pretty crazy looking, too.
What controller did that use? Genesis?
Six-button Genesis looking thing.
Six-button
Genesis. It wasn't quite a Genesis controller, but it was pretty close.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that now.
It has some kind of like...
that's what everybody loves, is a shitty Genesis controller.
I know.
No, I have my issues with the Genesis controller itself, but it was solid. But to like use a knockoff cheaper version of it is
The only reason I didn't like the Genesis controller was it reminded me of my glasses case. So, and I hated my glasses.
Why did your glasses case have six buttons?
It had that same rounded, felt like a thing that I could flip open. It would have some glasses that I didn't want to wear inside
of it. Sure, you weren't thinking of like the Saturn 3D controller?
I don't even remember what that looked like.
It was like a circle. Whatever. They didn't have that thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember this too. Wait, didn't that also have a numpad on it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Coop?
No, I was just reading up on this crazy VCR.
All right.
Yeah.
Apparently what it was Sony allowed third-party reproductions of the Genesis, and Pioneer made their own Genesis.
What did Sega have to say about it?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, did I say Sony?
Yeah, like Sony.
Sega, so yeah.
I was like, I know Sony was trying to get into the video game at that point, but...
It looks like there were 1, 2, 3, 4 different knockoffs that were all terrible.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But hey, so, the other thing I'll say is they still managed to put on a hell of a show with all that snow, because I guess the vendors were a little bit light in compared to previous years, but a lot of their stuff comes from Lexington, and I guess they were under even more snow. But I don't think you guys that hadn't been there before would have noticed those vacancies.
I would have. Yeah, I almost, in hindsight, I was almost thinking about that a little bit, like what, because the space there was kind of just like gaps So it's kind of good to know that there were gaps, because I didn't feel kind of underwhelmed. It was just like there was a point at which I was like, I think I'm done now.
I think back by that, I think they were going to set up another set of tables back by those modern pinball machines that we kept going back to. Like that open area, I think was going to have.
Yeah.
Because last year they had like multiple people selling used games or used retro stuff. So
gotcha.
They only had one stand for that, but.
I heard somebody say that there were going to be a bunch more arcade machines.
Oh yeah,
and but because of the storm, people didn't want to. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Benji. Yeah, he's friends with one of the vendors that was there. I think it's the guy who does the comic stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. What was his name?
Rusty Shackles.
Yeah, I think they grew up in the same hometown or something. So they weren't really like friends that hang out, but they knew who each other is.
Got it.
But yeah, he said he was talking to him, and yeah, apparently there's a big shipment of stuff that was supposed to come up from Lexington, and they got it worse than Louisville did, so they just didn't make it through.
No, I think that Arcade Expo is still a pretty fun trip, like just as a kind of a weekend away, and now that I'm kind of in the mode of I want to go just to see what thing I didn't notice the last time. Like, and play a bunch of pinball still, because that's still I don't have that experience elsewhere.
I do wish there had been more tables. Yeah, if there had been more machines, that I think that it would have reduced the lines just enough to where I would have been like, because like Jason, at some point we kind of both looked at each other and were like, I think like okay. You know, that's about, like, we all kind of ended up kind of at the same point at the same time. But I think it was mostly because, like, there's a bunch more, like, pinball machines, especially I would have played. But I didn't want to wait in line for 15, 20 minutes anymore. Mm-hmm. And this line just got a little too deep. When we first got there, it was perfect for the first, like, hour, maybe two.
Yeah,
And then it just got super busy.
Yeah, it gets
amount of systems.
It gets pretty busy in the middle afternoon. But that was, like, you know, so it's 3 days, but that was, like, Saturday afternoon, like, prime time, middle of the show, middle of the weekend. So,
I would think that Friday might be an even
say maybe next year we should take off Friday and go.
All right,
let me.
And if they had another 20-30 machines, I think it would have been enough to bleed off a lot of the lines.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think there were that many less machines there than last year, but it felt like the lines were longer overall. Like, I mean, the big tables were always long, but I mean, it felt
good
like
for them.
Yeah, I felt like even some of the smaller tables, you always had to wait at least two or three people deep just to get into one.
So were all those machines for sale? Because I kept
not
thinking...
Not all of them. Joust was not.
No.
There was actually... I noticed there was less for sale this year than last year.
I wondered...
And there was less for sale last year than the first time I went.
It's like, why do people... Those are all private collectors, right? I mean, the guys that put this on, they don't own these things, right?
Right.
So who... Like, what incentive do people have to bring out a machine that especially so many of those were in such, you know, in really good shape, mm-hmm. and they're just going to go get beat up for a weekend, and normally they're probably just at home use, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's the, like, what, I mean, I get, you know, you want to show off your fancy thing, but it's not a museum. I mean, people are there to play stuff, so
there's at least a couple places that... You know, what's it down there? What's that place down there called?
There's like an arcade down there they partner
with. It's not a barcade, but it's similar. I can't think of the name of it. But they donated their machines and are kind of promoting their business there too.
Okay.
Obviously, effectively, because I remembered their name. Let me. They're on their websites. Hold on. Let me. But I've heard of it before.
I didn't know.
I keep saying Bar Mitzvah, Zanzibar? But that's not it. Yeah, Zanzibar. Zanzibar.
Zanzibar.
Yeah, Zanzibar.
It was had bar in the name, and it was too clever for me to remember. So, but yeah, I know they had like a handful of machines there, and I feel like a couple other groups. And those are probably the ones that were not for sale. But yeah, I mean, I think the rest of them, if you're a private collector, it's got to be trying to sell them. So
yeah, I'm sure if you make somebody,
even they didn't have them marked, I'm sure if you could find out who owned them. I mean, everybody has a price.
Well, but
I did notice some of them were for trade too.
Yeah, I was gonna say that collector community in Louisville is pretty big too, so they all know each other, and so they're all that's a big event for them. So,
I guess if you're a collector and you got a bunch of machines you want to get rid of, what better place to do it than like that's kind of like a big
a
showroom floor for like. All these things are for sale. Like if you wanted to go, I mean, we talked about it. Like we knew there was going to be stuff for sale. Like what if we just rented a U-Haul and took a couple things back with us?
And
just never really going
to happen. $30,000 or $40,000 to burn by the time we added up all the machines we actually wanted. So was it worth the wait,
Josh?
Though,
I would own a pin. Oh yeah. It was super fun. I had a really good time with you guys. And if I had a bigger home right now, I would already own
the Joust
pinball machine.
We need to get that Joust machine. Jason, you going back?
I think so.
Cool.
I think so.
Coop, I'd ask you, but we keep going every year, so.
Yeah. we should just set up a recurring calendar thing.
Yep. Oh, I like the Friday idea. So.
Hey, shout out to your father-in-law for being like the coolest dude.
Right?
Oh, yeah. He was...
He had a blast, man.
He did. I mean, he kept sending me messages, you know, are you sure I'm not going to drag you guys down? Because, you know, he goes to bed early. He's like one of those...
He was out with us late that night.
Oh, yeah.
So
he falls asleep at like 8 and wakes up at 4 normally. But, I mean, he closed the bar with us. He was over there chugging bourbon barrel.
Yeah,
that's right. Like, dang, he still got it.
Yep. Yeah, no, he had a great time. That was
did he?
Awesome.
Cool.
I was glad he went, yeah.
He didn't talk much of it. Crap about us afterwards.
Oh no, he liked all you guys. I think that's he'll totally awesome. Go back cool. next year if we go.
Nice. Yeah, so that's always like the first or second weekend in March. So if you are in the Midwest and looking for a retro arcade pinball outing, Louisville Arcade Expo is pretty fun. So I think it's gonna do it for tonight's show. Gentlemen, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for going on the trip, and Horrible Night. We'll be back with another podcast next week. We'll see you.